Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with my host, Brother Harold Copeland. He is a brother to me, and I thank God for his willingness to continue on this journey that the broadcast and the lessons that we learn on Mission from the Heart come to us weekly, and we pray that you have allowed these lessons to be a blessing to you as you grow and go in grace. And this is the beauty of being a child of God, that he allows us to grow in his word, and he allows us to go as he sent the disciples out into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And, of course, his grace graces us every day of our lives. His grace and his mercy on us is truly a love that is unbeatable. It doesn't compare to any other love other than agape love, unconditional love. And this is the love of God for us. And we are just thankful that you come again and again and again to Mission from the Heart Radio. So as we continue, we are still in this wonderful teaching series, One with Jesus. One with Jesus. And if you're new to the broadcast today, we just want to thank you for being a listener to Mission from the Heart. And for those of you who continue with Mission from the Heart Radio, we want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for your faithfulness to the broadcast as you continue to feed yourself through this ministry, through this way of Mission from the Heart. Now, without further delay, I'm going to turn the mic over to Minister Copeland as we continue in our lesson, One with Jesus. Now, we encourage you to bring your Bible, as you should know by now, for those who have been listening, and also something to take some good notes with and on that you would have for your private study time, which is very important as a disciple of Jesus Christ, that we continue to learn what the Spirit of the Lord speaks and teaches and guides and leads us to do as his children. So, Minister Copeland, if you would greet, and we will continue in our lesson, One with Jesus. Minister Copeland.
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Hello again, everybody. Shalom. We release the peace of God upon you on this day. God bless you. We release blessings, 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 miracles, miracles, miracles. I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, it is always an honor, a great delight to be back in studio with you again. We always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio. We always want you to know that it's an honor, a privilege, great delight to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for your life. But most importantly, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. And every time you open your heart to receive the truth of the Word of God, God is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit into your heart. And this revelation audio, the Holy Spirit will take you to God's divine plan and destiny that he has for your life. And you too shall stand and proclamate the oracles of God to this lost and dying world. As we said earlier, we're still on the teaching, One with Jesus. And I think our first 7 or 8 lessons, we just solidified that truth by scripture, that you may know that you know that you know, that in your spirit, man, you are just like Jesus. And this will revolutionize your life. And the last session, we began to release blessings for being in that position, one with Jesus. That oneness is sealed by the Holy Ghost. We can't mess it up. Our enemy can't mess it up. Our spouse can't mess it up. Our friends can't mess it up. Most importantly, the devil can't mess it up. And I'm here to tell you, God will never mess it up. That's why he sealed it with the power, that oneness, that unity with the Holy Spirit, that oneness with the life of Jesus Christ. God sealed it with the Holy Spirit. Now, in the lesson today, the blessing that we should bring out, and this is a blessing. Number one, most Christians do not know that they are one with Jesus. Some believe that when they got saved, they may have been one with Jesus, but they don't mess that up now since then because they missed the seal of the Spirit that God placed. And the blessing we're looking at today is all of our sins have been forgiven. Sins of yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. Now, most Christians do not believe that truth either. And I'll go ahead and say this. I heard about a preacher in Colorado that was teaching his church that if a person was saved over 20 years and they did 56 in a 55-mile speed zone and they got in a wreck and died and didn't have time to repent or spin, and they were going to hell. See, that's why we have to preach the word of God, because that is nowhere in the word of God. And even today, once we find out that once we got saved, all of our sins were forgiven, sins of yesterday, sins of today, sins of tomorrow, and sins of forever. And that's a wonderful truth. And what it does, it reveals how much God loves us. He wants us with him more than we want to be with him. And that's why he sealed that oneness with Jesus, that unity with the Spirit. That's why he sealed it with the Holy Ghost. So we can't mess it up, and nobody else can mess it up. So let's dive on right into this teaching. We always start out by reading our lunch prayer scripture. And Minister Smith has our lunch prayer scripture, and she will read them for today. Minister Smith?
Amen. 1 John 4, verse 17. 1 John 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So if you could move over in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Amen.
Amen. Now, we shall be reading out of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. And while you all are getting there, I'm going to set it up. Hebrews chapter 9, there's a contrast. And what the contrast is doing is contrasting the Old Testament law with the New Testament grace. Amen. The Old Testament law with the New Testament grace. And what we receive through Jesus in the New Covenant is far superior than the Old Covenant. The Old Testament sacrifices couldn't set anyone free. In place as an illustration and a reminder to the people until the real sacrifice came. And we know who the real sacrifice is, Jesus Christ, Holy Lord and Savior. Now, since the old sacrifices were symbolic and couldn't really purge from sin, the Old Testament sacrifices had to be offered over and over again. But now that Jesus has given his life as the sacrifice for sin, man, let's receive that. Now that Jesus has given his life for the sacrifice for sin, it never again needs to be repeated. Glory to God. It never really, again, needs to be repeated because Jesus gave his life for all the sins of the world. Through Christ, who is the perfect sacrifice for sin, the sacrifice for sin has been made once, and it has been made for all time. Once for all time. For our born-again spirit is after we get saved. You got to be saved to receive this. Our born-again spirit never needs to be re-cleansed, repurged, or born again. Now, let's solidify that statement with Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12.
Verse 11 and 12, Hebrews 9. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats or calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Amen.
Amen. But by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. Our salvation, our redemption is eternal. And that creature in Colorado that's teaching those people about a Christian speed of 1 mile over the speed limit and get into an accident and die, he going to hell. That preacher need to go back to theology school, or better yet, go back to the Holy Spirit, the teacher of the Bible, and allow the Holy Spirit to teach him. Because this scripture truly refutes what he's saying. Let's move forward. We're still in Hebrews chapter 9, and we're looking at verses 13 through 15. Let us read that.
For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Amen.
Let's read one more.
15. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Amen.
Amen. So if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer can cover them temporarily, cover sin, other people, of God's people, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, as Holy Spirit, his life wasn't taken. He offered himself without spot to God, and he purged our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now he is the mediator of the New Testament. That's the go-between humanity and God, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgression that was under the first testament, which is the law. See, we're no longer under the law. Jesus has fulfilled the law for us. They which are called, that's us, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, entered in once into the holy place, the presence of God, and obtained eternal redemption for us. That's clearly shown in verse 12. And then in verse 15, he provided an eternal inheritance. These phrases emphasize a one-time sacrifice that works for all times. And that's why we do not need any more sacrifices for sin. Jesus did it once for all time. And I wish that person that told me about that preacher, that pastor, that teaching that 1 mile over the speed limit, I wish he would have gave me his email or phone number, and I would have sent him these scriptures because he needs them badly. Once. God really wants this point driven home to us once for all. And the all is not all people. It's all, you know, all people who believe. But the one is emphasizing once for all time. And we're going to keep reading out of the book of Hebrews. We're going to read verses 24 through 28.
For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. 26. Then
He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Amen.
Amen. The Old Testament sacrifices was offered constantly. But Jesus entered once into the holy place and made one sacrifice. Since we died just once, he suffered once. And that sacrifice paid for sin forever. And that's what they're saying in Hebrews 9, 24 and 28. Old Testament sacrifices could not do what the New Testament sacrifice of Jesus did. The Old Testament sacrifices was only temporary shadows of the real thing to come. And we know that the real one to come is Christ. And he paid it all. All paid for all the sins of the world. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. And I believe somebody would agree with me that that person that went 1 mile over the speed limit and had an accident and died didn't go to hell. But let's look at the opposite side. What if that person was a Christian for over 20 years, committed adultery, and was on his way home and got in an accident and died? I believe that some of you may believe that he would go to hell because the church has what they call a big sin and little sin. Well, 1 mile over the speed limit, that's not a, that's a little thing. But committing adultery on his wife, he going to hell. No, he was saved. He had an eternal redemption, an eternal inheritance, just like you and I. That's if we're born again. And that sin was already paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. God does not look at Christians in the flesh. God looks at Christians in the spirit man, in their spirit man. God is the spirit, and he that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That sin has already been paid for, but we talked about this last week. God is not holding our sins against us, and God is not a big sin, little sin God. And I say to God, he's so holy, sin is sin. But Romans tell us, Romans 8 tells us that as Christians, when we do sin, we yield our members to the enemy, and the enemy becomes the master at that time. The Bible tells us that the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking those that he can devour. Well, who is those that he can devour? I'm glad you asked. Christians that are in sin. So the old saying that he or she is getting away with sin, they are not getting away with anything. They are surrendering themselves to the devil. And the devil will take that opportunity, and his resume tells us that he kills, steals, and destroys. And he will take that opportunity to try to kill that Christian, steal from that Christian, and destroy that Christian. A Christian that is in sin, we don't be jealous of them. What we do, they need prayer because they just gave themselves over to the enemy. And the enemy hates all of us with a passion. And if he could, he will have all of us very, very sick, or all of us in our grave. But even when we are in sin, grace is still covering us. And God does not allow the enemy to have his way. So I hope I made that clear. And the reason God is not holding sin against us, that's just how much he loves us. And we need to see the love of God, get a greater revelation on how much God loves us. And it's that love of God that will restrain us, and we won't want to sin. When we see how big, how high and deep and wide his love is, what the agape is all about, how big the agape love is. And when we see how much he loves us, we don't want to go and surrender our members to the enemy, even though God is not holding it against us, even though all of our sins are paid for. There's a yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. And we do not promote sin on mission from the heart. And I hope that you can see love and righteousness, a love of God that has given us a righteousness that we don't even deserve. And he loves us so much. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That so love is so big. Amen. Paul said that I may know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. And if we try to go in our head knowledge to try to figure out how big God love is, we're going to always fall short. And we just have to walk by faith. And we know today that God is not mad at us today. And God is not having a bad day with us today. And God is loving us today just like he loved Jesus. Because on the inside of us, at 1 John 4:17 said, our lunch pass scripture, as Jesus is, so are we right now in this world. And that's what Galatians tell us to walk in the spirit. And do not walk in the mental, emotional part. Because God did not save them. He's working on it and we're working on it. We are working on it. But our spirit is perfect. We are wall to wall Holy Ghost, resurrection life, and the resurrection presence of Jesus Christ. And that's the way God sees us. And we have to see ourselves the way God sees us. See, God is not conscious of sin. And we should not be conscious of sin. If we sin, repent. And keep on walking with God. And keep on walking on the power of the Holy Ghost. So Old Testament sacrifice, it could not do what Jesus did. And there was just a shadow of the real thing to come. Let's read this, Hebrews 10. Let's go to Hebrews 10 and 2.
Hebrews 10, verse 1, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. Amen.
Amen. The Old Testament sacrifices really could have made the people perfect. Would you think they would have to be offered over and over again. That's why they was offered over and over again, because they covered sin. They did not cleanse and wash. There was no power in the blood of the animals. But the blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful. The power is in the blood. I say the power is in the blood of Jesus Christ. We just release the blood of Jesus Christ on every heart and every mind and every soul, on every head, every feet, one by one, name by name. What has washed away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What has made us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is power. There is power. There is wonder-working power in the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Amen. Okay. Now, New Testament believers, that's us, need not be conscious of sin. And that's a statement that hasn't really got into the hearts of many Christians. And I was watching TV, Christian TV today, and the preacher was saying that most Christians are condemned and shamed and just sorrowful, because they think that's the way God is looking at them. And that is not the way God is looking at them. When we get the revelation of the agape love, and we know the definition of unconditional love, we'll never be conscious of sin. Never. Because God is saying to us, what sin? My son has already paid for that. And once we get that revelation, I love you. That's what he's saying. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. I love you unconditional because of what my son has done for you, your Lord and your Savior. So we shouldn't be conscious of sin. And if we are conscious of sin, what we would do is open up our hearts and minds for the devil, and he will come in and condemn us. See, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That comes from God. But the devil, every chance he gets, he will come in and try to condemn us. And if we don't have the revelation of the unconditional love, we're going to listen to him. And he's going to distract us for a season. So, in sin, repent and receive the love of God. Just open your heart and say, God, give me a greater revelation of how much love you have for me. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. I want you to show me. I don't want the preacher to preach about it. I don't want the teacher to teach about it. But God, I am here for you to show me what love is. I want to know the love of God. That's what Paul said. That I may know the love of God that passes understanding. God's love will blow our minds. Our understanding of blow up trying to receive the love that God has for us. So Christians should not be conscious of sin because God is not conscious of sin. And the old sacrifices couldn't do this. But the New Testament sacrifices could indeed. We have to believe the truth of God's word. And if we do, we can literally reach a place where we're no longer sin conscious. we will recognize that our spirits have been sanctified and perfected forever. Our spirit man has been sanctified and perfected forever. God doesn't see us as a sinner. God sees our born-again spirit and is pleased. And if we focus our thought on who we are in the spirit, we'll be conscious of righteousness. And that's the key. We need to be conscious of our spirit, man, and we're going to be righteous conscious. We'll see righteousness all the time. We'll see Jesus on the inside of us. We'll see the wall, Holy Spirit in there. And we'll see how Jesus became the bridge and connected us back to the Father. It's time for us to become righteous conscious. And it's all based on the works of the sacrifice once and for all that Jesus Christ has paid for us. And the only reason he did it, because he know how much the Father loves us. And he loves us just like the Father loves us. And Holy Spirit loves us just like the Father loves us. And Holy Spirit has empowered us that we walk in the Spirit and do not mind the lust of the flesh, and we'll be righteous conscious. And I tell you, we're righteous conscious will take us. Let's keep moving forward. You know that old phrase, and we heard it a lot in the church by Christians that have been saved 10, 15, 20 years. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That isn't true. And I say this nicely. If we are a sinner, then we need to be born again. If we have truly been saved by grace, we're no longer a sinner. Our spirit man has been recreated in righteousness and true holiness, and it cannot sin. And 1 John tells us, he that's born of God, we read this scripture last week, does not sin. He's talking about the spirit man. Because we know after we get saved, we sin in our thoughts and emotions and sin in our feelings and our actions. But 1 John says, he that is born of God cannot sin. Why? In the spirit. And we need to be conscious of that righteous and truly Holy Spirit and let it come out. Let that spirit stand up in us and just come out and take over. Because he want to lead us. He want to lead us and guide us to our destiny and plan that God has for our lives. And our sin cannot be penetrated. Our spirit man cannot be penetrated by sin in our body and soul. And we talked about that last week because of the seal of the Holy Spirit. So if we said in our minds and our thoughts and in our body, it does not penetrate or seek into our soul. So we do not approach God confessing, I am an old sinner. We always need to draw to God boldly because we are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we talked about that scripture. It comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. We approach God through Jesus. We approach God through what Jesus has done in our born-again spirit. And we say, Father, thank you that through Christ, I have boldness to enter right into your very throne of grace. because you have made me righteous. It's time to become righteous conscious. And if we think, oh God, I'm so unrighteous, then we either need to be born again or we need to renew our minds and start believing the truth of God's word. We have been made righteous of God in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. Our identity, the real us, our true identity is in our spirit man. You remember spirit, soul, and body. We're not talking about the soul. The soul needs some work, okay? We're not talking about the physical body because the soul tells the physical body what to do. And it doesn't always tell the physical body to do righteous things. But in our spirit, man, where we worship God in spirit and truth, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Past, present, and future, we have been forgiven of our sin, past, present, and future. That's the definition of eternal redemption. Yes, I give you a definition of eternal redemption. We have been forgiven of our sin, past, present, and future. And that's the definition of eternal redemption. Eternal inheritance, we have it in our spirit. And if we think God can't forgive me of a sin before I even commit it, we better pray that God can, because Christ only died for sins once. And if Jesus can't forgive a sin before we commit it, then we can't be forgiven at all. Why? Jesus Christ hasn't died for sin in over 2,000 years, and we wasn't around 2,000 years ago. It's the love of God that draws us to repentance. And I sense the Father's heart of love through the power of Holy Spirit. And God is loving on us, whether we saved or whether we unsaved. And if we're already born again, we can receive the love that he has for us, the agape. We can tap into that love. All we have to do is open up our heart. But if we're not born again, we don't qualify. But we at Mission from the Heart Radio, we're a salvation ministry. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God, we can qualify you to get qualified. And I sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, and he comes to draw hearts to the heart of God. So I'm going to stop, drop, and pray. And I'm going to turn the microphone over to Minister Smith, who God has anointed for this hour to take us to the foot of the cross, receive the blood of Jesus, and then ask him to come into our hearts and our minds and our soul to be our Lord and Savior. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Harold, for going to the point of extending Jesus to those who are listening, coming to that point to where we want to offer Jesus Christ to you. Now, it's my words, of course, when we come to the point of prayer, but it's your heart, and it is a heart thing. With God, he sees our heart, and that's what is important. is that the heart be changed, that you would come to him with all humbleness of heart, willingness of heart, with a changed way of thinking, knowing that he is our way, he is our truth, and he is our life, eternal. This type of heart change is what is needed, that God wants us to exemplify, show him that our heart is for him and him alone. So we time to stop, drop, and pray, as Brother Copeland indicated. We take this opportunity to allow those who may not know Jesus for their own personal and intimate relationship. This is a time for us to stop, drop, and pray. And we don't take this opportunity lightly. This is a salvation ministry. Brother Copeland says it time and time again, that we are a salvation ministry. And this is what brothers and sisters in Christ should be about: leading to others to Christ, leading others to Christ. So as you who may not know him, who God has set aside time for you to come to know him today, at this hour of the day, that you would bend down, lay down, or bow your head in any position that you are able to get in. Remember, it's not the position, it's the heart. But our position is a reverential position, to bow down to King Jesus. He said in Scripture, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. So it would not be right of us in this ministry, Mission from the Heart, to assume that every listener is born again, that they have confessed with their mouth that Jesus is their Lord, that it would not be right of us to assume that everyone is. So we want to come right with Jesus and pray to him that you surrender your life to him through prayer. So as Minister Copeland has done a wonderful job in expressing how the Word of God connects everything from Genesis to Revelation to this one purpose, and that Jesus died once for all. And now we can come to the feet of Jesus and lay our heart down. We would be born again. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Prepare your heart. Repeat after me that you would accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. So let's pray. Father, here I am, ready to give you my total life. I come before the throne of grace with outstretched hands, with bowed head, and with humbleness of heart, saying, here I am, Lord, here I am, ready to accept the free gift of salvation. I believe that Jesus paid the penalty of my sins on the cross once and for all. I believe that your grace saved me, led me, brought me, turned me from my wicked way, and I come to you on bended knee, bowed head, laying down, prostrate, Lord, saying, yes, Lord, yes. By faith, I know that you are my God. By faith, I know that the word of Scripture is true and promising. By faith, I know that I am a child of God because Jesus is my Savior. Thank you, Lord God, for saving me today. Here I am, Lord. You first loved me, and I love you. Thank you, Father, all of that you have forgave me for, that I know I did, and it wasn't right. In my thoughts, Lord, thank you. In my words toward others, and even toward myself, thank you, Lord. And in my actions, Lord God, thank you for nudging me, leading me, providing for me, even not knowing that you were. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, I pray, saying thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord God, for saving me. Hallelujah. Now, as you get up with joy in your heart, praises in your hand, with a smile on your face, we, Minister Copeland and I, rejoice with you. The heavens rejoice that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, my brother, my sister. Hallelujah. As we always say on Mission from the Heart, we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church within your community, that you would be baptized by submersion of water, testifying when you get up that you are a Christ follower, that the world will know that you no longer run to sin, that you run from sin. Just as simple as that. Running from sin. And this is the message of today's lesson that Minister Copeland has wonderfully taught us today, that the desires of sin are no more within our spirit man because you have been born again. Hallelujah. Seek out a discipleship class or a small Sunday school class that you could continue to be discipled in the Word of God, that growth and maturity will take shape within you in continuing to listen to Mission from the Heart, for God is working all of these things out for your good so that we can grow and go in His grace. This is what it's about, my brother, my sister, that we continue to grow and go and share the word of God with others, that others would come into the ark of salvation, hallelujah, that they too will be saved and renewed and continue to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. So as we continue in our lesson, I'm just super excited that you have said yes today. Document this day in some way, shape, or form. Maybe make a little note in your Bible. Put it in your cell phone, that you will know that you gave your life to Christ on this very day. Minister Copeland.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm excited also. I know the heart of God is blessed. Like the Bible tells us, the angels are in heaven rejoicing. Hallelujah. And I'm rejoicing with them. And all I can say is thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. And thank you for my brothers and sisters that has given their heart to Lord Jesus Christ, has received the power of the Spirit of the living God, and has connected back to the heart of God. If you do make a mistake, amen, just repent. And the repenting is not for you to get back in right standing with God, because you can't lose that. That's what this teaching is saying. But the repenting is to tell the devil that you know that all your sins have been paid for, and Jesus has paid for that sin, and God is not condemning you, and the devil do not have a position. He don't have a position in the authority to condemn you. You don't belong to him no more. So just repent, rejoice, and become righteous conscience. See your righteousness that is in your spirit. Now, there's two scriptures I want to look at before we close. The first one will come out of Romans 12. Very familiar passage of scripture. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2.
Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen.
Amen. And that's your next step. Because God got your spirit, man. He got it. Wall to wall, Holy Ghost, one with Jesus. Jesus' heart breathing your heart back to God. God got your spirit, man. But now it's up to us to surrender our body and our soul. So Paul said, I beseech you. And what Paul is doing, he's begging. That would beseech me. I'm pleading with you. I'm begging with you. I'm highly encouraging you to do this, to give God your body. And see, when we pray that prayer, that means that we don't own our bodies anymore. Just like we gave God our spirit, we don't own our spirits. God said, I want all of you. I want your body. And I want you while you're alive as a living sacrifice, because I want to use you. See, but I want to bring you into the holiness that I already placed in your spirit. And the acceptance I already given in your spirit, I want to put it in your body and your soul. And how do we get that soul saved? Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. The soul got to be transformed. We can't walk this walk with those old thoughts. They got to catch up, and they got to think like the spirit man. And the only way we can do that is be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We got to renew our minds constantly, because that's where the devil's going to fight you at now. He can't touch your spirit. But he'll try to fight you. You know, that's why we hear about the battlefield of the mind, or the battleground of the mind. So meditate that scripture. That scripture is very, very important. And present your bodies. And that means I can't do what I want to do with my body anymore, because my body don't belong to me. I have presented it to God. I can't think like I used to think anymore. Why? Because my mind belongs to God. I got to think like him. And how do we get taught to think like him? By meditating the word and renewing, taking out the old and putting in the new. And the second scripture, 2 Corinthians 10 and let's go 1 through 6.
2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 6. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in present am lowly among you, but being absent
am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen.
Amen. And see, Paul said the weapons of our warfare. As beautiful as this is, we enter a warfare. Because the devil do not want us to give our whole self to God. So he's still going to try to play in our mind. Amen. And he's still going to try to afflict our bodies. And what we have to do is stay in the Word of God. And when those old thoughts come and those old conversations, we got to recognize them because it's warfare. The devil is not coming with a pig feet, with a pitchfork and a red suit. We better stop looking. He's kind of embarrassed. He's like a snake. And he's coming with a subtle thought in the mind, a subtle feeling. And he comes so subtle, we would think it's us. We would think, man, I'm still a bad person. But no, no, that's warfare. The battlefield of the mind, that's the devil. And we got to recognize him for who he is. And he said, pull down those strongholds. And that's all that is, a stronghold that's been talking to us because we was unsaved. Cast down the imagination. No more vain imagination. Cast down every high thing that exalts itself over the knowledge of God. And I love those instructions, Minister Smith. Find a Bible-believing church. They'll teach you how to do it. Get on a small group. They'll teach you how to do it. You get accountability. And listen to Mission from the Heart Radio. We love you. Most importantly, God loves you. And this is the greatest day of your life. And may the grace of God go before you on this day. May the peace of God rest and abide in your hearts forever. And may the love of God overflow out of every one of us that others may come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God bless you. We love you. Minister Smith.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. This is the time that we conclude this lesson for today. And always know that the grass wither and the flowers, they fall off season after season after season. But thanks be to God, his word will remain forever and ever. My brothers and sisters, we thank you for being faithful listeners to this broadcast. We thank you for exercising your faith in a God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could think or ask. Anchor yourself in his word. Anchor yourself in his faith that we will remain faithful in him because he is faithful to us. We will meet again on Mission from the Heart and continue our lesson, One with Jesus. God bless you.